Okay, our next speaker has travelled all the way from North Wales, a very respectable speaker, of course, and it's always a pleasure to have him come to Bodiseal Events and do a talk. He is ex-BNP North West Regional Organiser and a councillor as well in North Wales. Please welcome to the stage, Mike Whitby.
Quite ironic, really. One Scouser calling another Scouser respectable. So we don't steal cars. We don't steal the wheels off cars, according to the old fable. But thanks for your invitation to speak. And really, on behalf of the British Voice, please be aware, the cameraman, everything that I say in this is perfectly lawful, and I'll be happy to say it in any court throughout the land. So you don't need to edit it. So the theme of this event is working together. And as Mike said, it's way past time for us to work together. There's been too many fractions in the movement for too long. So we've all become too familiar with the words racism, anti-Semitism, and Islamophobia. But what do these words actually mean? First of all, we need to understand that legislative acts and not laws. They're simply rules and regulations introduced by Parliament to control us. But they're not laws, so we're not obliged to consent to such rules. However, even under the traitorous rules of the members of Parliament, their threats regarding racism, anti-Semitism, and Islamophobia are fundamentally flawed. So let's look at these three things. I think these are the main three things that were thrown at us on a regular basis. First of all, racism. They've tried to make this a catch-all rule by calling it racial and religious hate crime. When you analyse it, you see that they must prove that the action was taken because the victim, and I use that the word victim very loosely, is of another race or religion. Not just that they are, but you said that thing because of what they are. They must then go on to prove the defendant hates all foreigners and people of other religions, simply because they're different to us. This is quite difficult for them to prove. So anyone being threatened with such a charge should never make the prosecution's job easier by saying things, anything. No comment is the only answer that they need. Merely stating that immigrants in our country, against the will of the indigenous people, that's not a crime. In fact, doesn't matter what they throw at you, you keep that in mind. Because legislation is not law. It's just rules and regulations. Anyway, the other one, next one, anti-Semitism. Under this rule, they must prove that we hate Jews because they're Jews. Again, this is hard for them to prove because the vast majority of cases, it's not actually true. If we hated people because they were Jews, we'd hate all of them, regardless of their ability, of their achievements. We couldn't accept them as doctors, scientists, musicians, or anything else. Christians believe that Jesus Christ was the greatest man that ever lived, and he was a Jew. It's impossible for us to hate all Jews because they're Jews, and at the same time worship a Jew named Jesus Christ. But we can speak of those who follow an evil book called the Talmud. Yeah. And we can denounce those people who behave in the evil ways described in the Bible. Jesus Christ himself, a Jew, described those people in John 8:44 in the Bible. You belong to your father, the devil. He also referred to them in Revelation 3:9 as those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not. Clearly, he wasn't referring to all Jews, because he was a Jew himself. Just Talmudists. That evil book advocates enslavement through usury and loans and mortgages, child rape, and murder of non-Jews, especially Christians. It's a fact. So the point of that is distinguish them between Jews and Talmudists. But next one is Islamophobia. As above, to be convicted under this statutory regulation, they must prove that we hate Muslims because they're Muslims, and not because we simply don't like them. As with the Talmudists, we oppose Quranists, who are the people who follow an evil book called the Quran, which advocates the rape of women and children, and calls for all non-Muslims to be murdered. As non-Muslims in a Christian country, we would be mad to accept such people. We do not accept them, we never will. We're not obliged to like everyone. You know, even our own people, we don't have to like people. But, you know, if you show that you're unfriendly toward one of those people, they want to prosecute you for it. Well, regardless of whether they're Muslims, Jews, or Christians, they've been brought into our country against the will of the people, and we are opposed to enforced immigration. And especially the people who follow evil books which instruct them to kill us. Both of those books instruct their people to murder non-Jews, non-Muslims, and especially Christians. These islands are our home. As Mike pointed out before, if somebody came into your home and tried to claim it as their own, they'd very quickly be kicked out. Such an action would be entirely justifiable. So the corrupt politicians, the words racism, anti-Semitism and Islamophobia are now considered to be more important than murder. It's hard to believe, but it's true. And any indigenous Briton who dares to speak the truth about immigrants, Quranist or Talmudist, is treated as a criminal. Law-abiding people are now being imprisoned for simply speaking of truths involving those groups of people. It's often said that religion and politics should not be mixed, or it's not cool to support your religion. To me, that's impossible, because politics is connected to our culture, which is intrinsically linked to our beliefs. If we abandon our religion, we abandon our culture, and vice versa. So, are we Christians going to roll over and play dead?
No.
Thank you. No. Or are we going to stand up and fight for what we believe in?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes.
Some people say, being a Christian, are you? You've got to be a pansy and turn the other cheek. Well, keep in mind that being a Christian does not mean that we have to accept everything that's thrown at us, as Jesus didn't. He was quite a rebel himself. So without the permission of the British people, our country's religion, Christianity, is being destroyed and replaced by Islam. Christianity has been practiced in this country since 35 AD, when Jesus' brother Joseph of Arimathea visited England just 2 years after the crucifixion of Christ. In fact, the first above-ground Christian church in the world, St. Mary's at Glastonbury, was built by St. Joseph of Arimathea in AD 63, which was 250 years before the Roman Emperor Constantine hijacked Christianity for the Roman Empire. Therefore, Britain was the cradle of Christianity in Western Europe, and as such, it's extremely important to the culture of these isles. Politicians have done everything to demonise and destroy Christianity, and along with it, the indigenous Caucasoid Britons and our cousins throughout Europe. By accepting such treatment, we tacitly condone anti-Christian and anti-British actions, as Christianity is an integral part of Britain and British culture. All the main politicians are guilty of placing foreigners above our indigenous people and treating us like dirt in our own land. Racism now permeates everything, including football, where every player is forced to wear a sign saying, "Racism, kick it out." And it takes place in front of large crowds of many, many thousands of people, and it's watched by millions. But the footballers nowadays are allowed to curse and swear and cheat each other, all of which are crimes at common law. But they're acceptable. But calling somebody black, even though he's black, apparently is a crime. Twisted society. We say anything or do anything that's supposedly racist, then that footballer's career is over. According to the anti-British Labour Party politician Keir Starmer, quote, any action may be regarded as racist if the victim or anyone else says it is. How stupid is that? Mm-hmm. He looked at me and that's a racist look. Another one, somebody was convicted for beeping his car horn in a racist manner. It's belief. But these things are happening and people have got to be stronger to stand up to this bloody nonsense. But we are not allowed to pull the race card. And if you look on the Crown Prosecution Service website, it says white people are not allowed to pull the race card. Because it's impossible for white people to be racially abused. Excuse me? Doesn't it apply to everybody?
No.
If it's real, it should apply to everybody freely. It doesn't. So you may be thinking, why is this so important? Well, it is why. The word racism was invented by a mass murdering Bolshevik called Leon Trotsky. Real name was Lev Bronstein. He invented that word purely as a weapon word to silence the indigenous Russian people, millions of whom were being murdered by Bolshevik immigrants. It's important to remember that they weren't indigenous people, that it wasn't a Russian revolution, it was a revolution by Talmudists. Under the Bolsheviks, the punishment for racism or anti-Semitism was severe torture and 30 years hard labour in a Siberian gulag, or execution. Execution for saying somebody is, he's Jewish. Oh yeah, I said he was a Jew, so that's racist. We can execute you for that. If we don't stop this so-called war quickly, our future generations might be executed for simply objecting to immigrants entering our land. Even now, if any man or woman who openly opposes immigration is demonised and regarded as a bad person. So if we don't stop it, it'll get progressively worse. So why do we allow, and this is an important group of words, public servant politicians. Why do we allow them to dictate what we can do, what we can and can't do or say? Would a rich man allow his servants to dictate to him? No, absolutely not. Most people don't realise that we, the people, are the sovereign masters, which means that the public servants serve us. We don't serve them. Those arrogant public servant politicians pass legislation to control everything we say and do. And most people simply accept it like dogs. Remember this. We are sovereign, and our monarch swore a coronation oath to represent our wishes. And she must do so. Parliament is subservient to both the people and the monarch. So, can I just ask you to get that tube for me? The politicians are the servants of the people. Excuse me a sec. I'll show you this in a minute. Also, our country's constitution states that legislation and taxation require the consent of the people. Very important word, that consent. But these facts have been kept from the people by treasonous politicians. However, we can withdraw our consent at any time. And we must withdraw our consent. And it's tacit consent if we don't ignore it. So they can assume that they've got the will of the people unless we tell them, I don't agree. I don't consent. We must refuse to accept our country being filled with the dregs of the third world. is immigration is destroying our country, our lives, our lives and our future, the future of our children and our country's infrastructure. And that's exactly what it was designed to do. As has already been touched on by Mike, Jim, Milton, those who control the politicians want to destroy our country. It's not a stupid mistake. Many years ago, I used to write to, before I was involved in politics, I used to write to politicians and say, why don't we do this, this, and this? Naively thinking, they must be stupid. They're not stupid. These people are very clever and devious, but very evil. And they're doing this on purpose. So, the Barcelona Declaration of 1995 was an announcement by the politicians that they will enforce immigration upon the free world in order to destroy us under the coup de novo Kalergi plan of genocide. Genocide of the white race. Again, fact, as we've just been reminded by Milton. It has become a third world hellhole. It gets worse every day, and the main cause of our destruction is immigration. Some people say we harp on about it too much, but we don't. We don't talk about it nearly enough. It's always been the most important thing. Back in 1968, I was too young to vote, but if Enoch Powell had a, you know, even though he was a Tory, if he'd have become leader of a new party, 85% of the people in this country would have voted for him. That was the level of support that he had after the Rivers of Blood speech. Even all the trade unions supported him. Now they've all been dragged further down that lefty road where you can't even talk about these things. Speaking out against it, people are afraid to be called a racist. Now, we know this. They often use the term, I'm not a racist, but I don't like immigration, I don't like this. They always put that caveat in there before them. For crying out loud. To hell with the word racist. It's just a word. And people have got to stop worrying about what others think of them and think more of themselves and their family and their future generations rather than the immigrants who are here without our own permission. The fact remains that every single immigrant is in our country without our permission. Because, as Mike pointed out, we have never been given the choice whether we want this or not. And if there was, and they know damn well why, because if there was an election tomorrow, as with the Brexit, the vast majority of people voted for Brexit because of immigration. Absolutely no question about that. So people, since Brexit at least, the people on the streets are more inclined to want to talk about it. Beforehand, they'd look over the shoulder before they took a leaflet off you. And we'd be handing leaflets out. And, it was only on the doorstep when you got the real feeling. And that's where we need to campaign. On the doorstep, one to one, or two of us and one of them. In case they say, oh, we said this, that, and the other. Always make sure there's two of you. So anyway, politicians haven't been given our permission, but they carry it out against our will. So, what rights have we got? Britain is our country, it's our children's inheritance, and this is our land. And our people must always come first in our land, regardless of what anyone else says about it. The indigenous people of the British Isles may not settle, will decide who may or may not settle in our land, regardless of any perceived skills shortage. No one will be allowed here unless we, the people, sanction it. No politician or businessman will do it for us. Politicians will be told in no uncertain terms to do as we tell them. Otherwise, they'll be facing charges of treason. There's absolutely no doubt that most politicians are anti-British traitors and they spit on the Magna Carta, which is our constitution. But I'll just open this up. I'm not going to attempt to read through it, by the way. I'm just going to show you it. Good night. Put that down there. That's a copy of the Magna Carta. I think it's going to cost £8. I bought this 30 years ago, long before I was involved in this movement. And I thought, well, it's part of our history, our culture.
Where could I get one of them?
Well, come see me later, Richard. I've got the website where you order them from. This cost about £3.50 in 1986 or 87. Now only costs £8. So it's cheap at the price. And there's all of there's an English version of it as well to point out what all the different things are. That is our constitution. That is the thing that the Americans base their constitution on. I mentioned this last time I was here, but they have Magna Carta Day in America on the 15th of June every year. And a delegation from Britain go over there to fly around to different countries, their cities and towns and celebrate Magna Carta. They don't do that here. They spit on Magna Carta here. Because they don't want us to realise that we have got a constitution. They keep telling us, oh, well, we haven't actually got a constitution. We have. We've got one. It's the oldest and the best in the world. So, you know, please get a copy of that from that website and use it and tell people about it. So, it's Magna Carta 1215. They tried to change it a few times over the next 100 years or whatever. But 1215 is actually our constitution. There's a few things there that are listed in it, but I won't go through the details. Just find out for yourself. It's easier to remember them. So, stop worrying about racism. Tell the truth. Speak out for our own kind. Support your own people, your own culture, and your own religion, because that's part of it. And fear nobody. We'll never achieve our goals through the ballot box. Some people may disagree with this, but that's my view on it. Several of us have been elected to office in this room, including an MEP. We haven't achieved anything, because they won't allow us to achieve anything through the ballot box, unless we have an absolute tidal wave of support, where we could take over the council, take over parliament. But there's lots of other ways that we can do it without being elected. We can go to every door in Britain, knock on the door, and get those people to understand that we don't need to be elected. None of us need to be ruled. We're not obliged to be ruled by politicians, traitorous politicians in Parliament. We can govern ourselves. Nothing wrong with that. We just need to be the organising body for the people to come to have their things dealt with. Also, you know, one main thing we can do, I won't get too specific in this just now, but this is something we can discuss privately. We can withhold our taxes. Now, there are some taxes that we've got direct control of. I don't want to prosecute you for withholding them, but lots of people are already doing it. They try to prosecute you, they even send the bully boys around to steal your car or whatever. But, you know, there's ways around these things, and the more of us that are doing it, the easier it will become. It's quite difficult for those of us who've been setting the ground rules, as it were. But it can be done. And there's some major ways we can do that, which would make them sit up and take notice within a couple of days. But as I say, I won't go into that just now. Before I finish, I'd like for everybody to consider this. I'm going to use just a few bullet points here, and the main word is who. But around the word who has got three sets of inverted commas, brackets. So those who understand what that means, when you see three brackets, a word, and then three more brackets, then you know who I'm talking about. Please research British history, because all these things I've said are absolutely true. Especially, you know, for the first better 700 years, our monarchs, or Pendragons as they were called at the time, were related to the royal family, the Holy Family. And that's why they were chosen to be the leader. And King Arthur and Lancelot, people say, Oh, well, that's all a myth. It's not a myth. It's absolutely true. And the last Pendragon High King of Britain was Cadwallader of Chester, standing off from where we live. But we were never taught this at school. You're never going to hear of stuff like this because it's against the narrative. Those people rejected Rome. And they, it's contrary to what something else we were told, apart from all the battles for superiority, they got on very well with the Anglo-Saxons. And that's why Arthur was the first one to integrate the country. Because all he did was use the old rules that had been around for thousands of years in these isles, put them all into one book, called it Alfred's Law, and stopped all the wars. And then, you know, Rome didn't like that, so they sent the Normans over to conquer us. But, you know, these bullet points I've got here. Research the history of slavery. Who owned all the slave ships? Wasn't our people? Who controlled the white slave corsairs that were operated by Muslims? Who caused the Ukrainian Holodomor that killed 7 million Christians in 1 year? Who stole the potato crops from the people of Ireland, killing 1 million Christians? There wasn't actually a potato blight. They were stolen from Ireland. Who was it that caused the horrendous murders by starvation? It wasn't the British people. Who caused the Opium Wars? Who causes British soldiers now to risk their lives protecting the Afghan drug trade? Who causes British soldiers to invade foreign Middle Eastern countries in order to enable a greater expansion of Israel? And at the same time, sending all the Arabs over to Europe to make sure Islam dominates us? Who causes ever more immigrant invaders to come to our homeland? Who causes our skies to be sprayed with noxious chemicals virtually every single day? It goes unnoticed. People, by and large, don't even know it's happening. But they might as well be dropping bombs on us. So, keep that in mind, and thank you for listening.
Okay, once again, Mike Whitby, everybody.
You're tuned into Radio Alien.